Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and I am so excited on this episode. It is a supersized episode. So an extra large helping of swoon banter and laugh out loud moments, because for this episode, it is all about the rom-com. We gathered an incredible panel of authors who know how to blend heart, humor, and happily ever afters. Welcome to the podcast, Erin Nicholas.
Thank you.
And Krista Sandor.
Always good to see you guys.
And Jamie Albright, this is your first appearance on Buzzing About Romance.
It is. I'm very excited.
Welcome. And then Lainey Davis. Welcome, Lainey.
Hello. Always happy to be here.
I'm so excited you guys are here and to talk rom-coms with me, because let's be honest, we all need a little bit of more humor in our lives right now.
Always, but especially right now.
And it's so funny because I find myself going to rom-coms right now when things just feel really big and overwhelming, not just in reading, but also like in TV watching. Mike and I started, I made him get BritBox, and we are watching Mrs. Brown's Boys. Has anybody watched that?
Oh, no, but I have BritBox.
I'm going to.
It's hilarious. It's so funny. Awesome. It's this very large Irish family in Dublin. And the mom, Mrs. Brown, is actually, it's actually a man playing the role.
Like a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Yes. But she's not out as, she's mommy and mammy, they call her, I guess, I think is what they, how, with their accent, it sounds like. It's so ridiculous, you guys, this family. And then I watch that and I think, oh, okay, well, that's funny. A little broken.
Yeah.
But funny.
Well, that's where a lot of humor comes from.
Right.
Right.
It's the little cracked open places.
It's so funny. If you haven't watched it, we actually saw just a couple random like little clips on TikTok. And I think there's like 4 or 5 seasons of it. And the one scene had the Mrs. Brown, she was had a condom on her hand because she had stolen the condom out of her daughter's purse. Anyway, it was hilarious. Everybody should be watching it. So we're going to get to know everybody a little bit, especially because Jamie, you haven't been on the podcast. We did review one of your books for one of our Sip and Discuss episodes.
Yeah, you did.
But let's get to know everybody a little bit. Jamie, how long have you been writing? And have you stuck mostly into rom-coms?
Yes. I put my first book out in 2017.
Okay.
So I actually didn't start writing until I turned 50. So I didn't write anything before then. And then about 2.5 years after I started writing, I put the first book out. And then... I've only done rom-coms, but right now I am writing a book that is, the best way to describe it is, if Steel Magnolias and the Dukes of Hazzard had a baby, that this book would be that book.
Cannot
That's
wait.
It's a great description.
I'm like sold already. So
yeah, you got me.
So it has some romance in it, but it's probably more general fiction or even book club fiction, maybe women's fiction, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just this is the book. So that's the one that came and that's the one I'm writing. So yeah.
That's okay. Krista, how long have you been writing? And I wouldn't say that you write all rom-coms, but there's always humor in your books.
Yeah. Well, I started out in 2018. And I wrote a 5-book like small town with like a hint of romantic suspense. And after I finished that 5th book, I was like, fuck this. We are going right to like rom-com. We're going to laugh a little bit. So that's when I slid into a little bit more lighter things, like with the Billionaire Brothers, the Bergen Brothers. And then the book that I have to tell you that I sold a whole bunch of because of you guys talking about Not Your Average Vixen, the Christmas book. So I was at a screening this weekend and I had people come to the table because they had heard it on your podcast. So thank you very much.
Oh, that's
You're
amazing.
Welcome. I'm so excited to hear it.
I'll Venmo you.
Never. Well, and actually, it's so funny that you bring that up because one of the added questions when I asked, you know, everybody like, hey, questions, everybody wants to know when we get next gen, not your average vixen.
So it's not next gen, but there's a anthology of short Christmas stories that I'm a part of, and it's happening in Kringle Mountain. Okay. So you are going back to Kringle Mountain.
Okay.
This December, you got it.
I think it was, was it 2 weeks ago? We were like, be the vixen. Be the vixen, because
it's called the Right Brother for Christmas.
Okay, I'm excited.
Very good.
Lainey, you write sports romance, but sports romance with rom com, and then you do have like some small town and your Pittsburgh stuff.
Yeah, I have some that are straight up rom com. I've been in my sports romance era for the past year, but I just today finished the round of edits on my holiday rom-com You Will Be Sorry. Ooh. So that'll be hopefully coming out in October, and it's been really hard to switch gears, honestly, because I was doing some angstier stuff for a while. Yeah. So it felt really nice to just be writing something ridiculous,
just to write something crazy. Now Erin, you've been at it a little longer.
Yeah. look at all these young girls.
Oh yeah. I'm just a babe.
That's I'm me. Having a hot flash right now. So
yeah, my first book came out in 2009, but it was like November of 2009. So I always say 2010 because November. But yeah, I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And you think I'd know more by now, wouldn't you?
You stick kind of in that rom-com lighter.
Yeah.
You know, you do some of your stuff deals with some heavier topics, but it always tends to have a lightheartedness.
Yeah. My first, the first series, I wrote a standalone because back then I thought that's what you were supposed to do. You know, 2009. Oh my God. That was 4 million years ago. But my first series was this group of guys who were friends. They're all paramedics. And I kind of based it off of, I have seven brothers-in-law. So I know lots of guys, and I know the bro, you know, the bromance vibe. So I kind of based it off of that, and there's no way that can't be funny.
Right.
So it was just kind of a natural thing. And then I just loved it. I just loved it, and I couldn't kind of not do it. But yeah, I really love to include the humor. Some of them are funnier than others. Some of them are more ridiculous than others. And once I hit that over the top campy, crazy vibe, I was like, oh, this is where I want to be.
Yeah. So as I'm standing on the sidelines cheering you on, being make it campier. Lean into the camp.
I text her what do you think of this? And she's like, oh my God, yes. And 47 exclamation points. So I have an enabler here.
Well, so Erin sometimes likes to use animals. Krista likes to use random drag queens sometimes, and also edibles.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
There you go. Oh, maybe that's what I'm missing.
It might be.
It's fine. It's good stuff, Erin. You got to throw that.
Now, your characters are while you're writing.
Maybe both. Maybe both. Lainey, you've used animals.
Yeah, the one I just finished off, it's got goats in it. And my editor was like, do goats really do that? I was like, listen, I did research for this.
I talked to a bunch of goats.
Always. That's all I'm saying. Goats are always rom-com gold.
And Jamie, you tend to use just banter and settings, but you do have a couple of older people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I use old people. I mean, when I say old people, I'm using quotation marks because, you know, we all get closer to that age. But basically, I use my mother. I mean, she did say last week, I was at her house and she said, I have a feeling I've been in way too many of your books. Oh, you have. I mean, she's read them, but I don't think she sees herself until after the fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I love
have her autograph some of them with you.
Yeah.
Those will fly off.
Well, you know, she did go to a signing with me one time, and she was telling everyone, oh, they're so good, they're so good. But this one, she does take the Lord's name in vain. So
I'd be like, sold. Which one?
No, so I think cute. She sold more books that way than, and she didn't think she was. She thought she was warning them off.
Yeah.
But she wasn't. Yeah.
Somebody asked my by your readers.
My husband was with me helping me this weekend at the signing, and somebody asked him what spice level.
Oh, what did he
Oh.
say? Did he know any of the
He was
vocab?
like, spicy.
You don't understand, poor Dave. Now, and I have to ask this about all of your husbands, because so like Mike Burrier is, he is the voice of reason in our house. Like I'll be like, I have an idea, and he'll be like, sit back,
Right.
let's
Deep
talk it
breath.
through. And I know for Krista, he's kind of your voice of reason also.
Yeah, he's the steady guy. He was the right. I knew after the first date that I was going to marry him.
Yay.
Wow.
But are the rest of you, is it your spouse that's your voice of reason, or are they like cheerleading you on and enabling all of the chaos?
Oh, my spouse has no suspension of disbelief, so he doesn't get involved in fiction at all.
Same. Mine is a journalist, so he does the facts, right? Like real life stuff. And he is definitely the steady guy, the one who keeps everything rolling and the one who goes, "You're gonna do what? Really? Okay." So yeah, he keeps it a little normal.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, though, it's a little bit of a cold bucket of water when you're like
For sure.
worked up and telling him
For
about like
sure.
something you read, or and he's like, you know, that could never happen, right? Like, that's not,
Yeah.
why you
Yeah.
gotta poop on my parade, buddy? Move
Yeah,
on.
I
exactly.
know. He doesn't appreciate the hijinks of otters weirdly enough.
Versus
I've even,
me, who is like, look, I found you an otter statue.
Right?
Exactly.
I know. I'm like, this is going in the garden. He's like, what?
I've given Mr. Davis like prompts he can say in response to things that when I talk about business, and sometimes he'll be like, is this one that sounds really difficult or that sounds really hard? Like, so
My favorite thing was when we first went to see our accountant, when the writing had really taken off, and we were talking about this, and our accountant is all in on this. He's an enabler as well. And looks at my husband and he goes, "Way to go." My husband turned bright red and was like, "No." He goes, "No, we're not talking about that. We're not going there."
People want to know. They want to know if you're doing the deed on page 192, you
It's so
know.
juvenile, right? It's so 12-year-old, but it was
It is.
so.
It is because I'm like, James Patterson writes about a lot of serial killers. He's not a silly serial killer. I mean,
But
it's
when I said
called
you're more of a prude than our accountant.
Yeah, right.
Like, dude. See,
Like,
and
here's the scale.
I know, like our accountant made you blush. What are you doing?
And people want to know that about the authors. And I'm over here like, so did you get goats for your yard, Lainey? Like, can you tell
No.
me
Can I talk about the goats for a little bit?
Yeah, tell us about the goats.
Goat ahead. Goat
Oh my gosh. I live in Pittsburgh and we have this problem with Japanese knotweed. It's taking over the city. And there's this company called Allegheny Goatscape, and they bring these goats around the city and they eat the knotweed, and it's like the most efficient way. And I've become obsessed with these goats. For years, I've been following them around and I spy on them and I talk to their handlers. And I've been just like, and sometimes they escape and it'll be on Facebook, like, whose goat is this?
Yes.
And I live in a city, and I've just been so obsessed with these goats that is how this book came to be, because I
Love that.
imagined that a young, irresponsible woman was tending the urban goats. I
So,
love it.
yeah, we have those. And have you done goat yoga yet, Lainey?
I have not, but I learned that the goat yoga goats are not good knotweed eaters because they're lazy. They want We have baby
There's
goats.
Ben.
There's Ben. There, yeah.
No, they want robust, aggressive goats eating these weeds.
That's
No,
hilarious. yoga's with the babies, and it sounds silly, and I've done it quite a bit. It's the most joyful experience. And these goats will urinate on your mat, and people are like, oh, you know, it makes no sense, but it's so
See, you say
joyful.
goat yoga, and all I think of is I know how goats poop. Like, it's like rabbits, it's the little balls, and that does
People
not.
are, nobody cares.
nobody cares. We're all just in it. And the goats, and they're like on us, and you know,
I'll never forget. It was probably 2015, 2014, might have been later. We were driving into Cleveland Clinic, and it was so it might have been right after the bubble burst in the housing market, and there were all the four houses in foreclosure. The city of Cleveland came in, and they were using sheep
Oh.
to go in and eat the grass in the abandoned lots and the houses that were
Love that.
being torn down and stuff in and around the clinic. And the very first time we drove past, I said, "Mike, I think there are sheep in that yard." And he's like, "No, no."
Whatever.
And I'm like, "No, I think so." We looked it up, and it's like a whole neighborhood urban sheep farm thing. But then I did see down in like North and South Carolina in Georgia where the kudzu is so bad, they're using the goat landscaping to come in and eat the kudzu.
Yeah.
It's
And
amazing.
they eat poison ivy, mustard, garlic.
Love it.
Wow. I would happily adopt a goat. I'm just
Oh, my
saying.
husband's always wanted goats.
That could be a really fun job for a rom-com heroine, just
Absolutely.
owns the goats that
That
she.
eats all the.
I mean, I am loving it. I had the goats eat the hero's work. They eat his shoelaces. He trips in their poop. It's just, I don't know. It
Perfect.
enables me to have the most ridiculous things happen, and I'm like cracking myself up
And
right
what is the name of this book and when is it out?
now. Yeah. It is called You'll Be Sorry, YULE.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I see what you did there.
Well, it's not a
Sorry.
Christmas book. It's a Yule book, and it's out October 9th.
Hold on. What's I'm going to ask the question. What makes Yule different than Christmas?
Oh, it's not really. I just
It's just not.
I needed a
It's a
good
better
pun.
title.
Oh, okay.
I
Yeah.
got it. That's what I said. I see what you did
It's a
there.
Yule
Yule.
book, not a
But
holiday book.
everything is
Gotcha.
like, yeah.
Well, and you have another book coming out later in December that's a novella.
I was a little extra this year.
Wow.
While I was in my sports romance era, the side one of the side characters was just he just wouldn't shut up, and so he gets a Hanukkah novella this year. And
Nice.
is it a rom-com? I don't know. He gets snowed in above a bookstore.
He's kind of stupid.
Does
It's
anyone die or cry?
no
Otherwise,
one dies or cries.
that's a rom-com. You're
yeah,
right.
it's a rom-com.
Bookstore snowed in rom-com. Got
Yeah.
it.
There's like no angst in it. It was just really fun. It's pretty short.
What's the best, Krista? What's the best side character or side situation you have? Like, Lainey's got her goats. What would you say? I have thoughts, but.
I think what are you saying? Like the drug dealer and
Well,
vixen?
there's like the drug dealer and vixen, but there's like Santas on
On.
snowmobiles, drag
Yeah.
queens on a bus,
Yeah.
retired drag queens on a bus.
Yeah, but they're always sort like I sort of like I'm kind of like Jamie. I kind of like to have my kind of elders that can kind of drive the story or be funny, but at the same time kind of teach the lesson, right? Like kind of like
Absolutely.
they're hilarious, but they've been there, they've done that, and they can kind of be that come to Jesus voice. And I always use my grandma Sandor. So she is She was just, she had this wit and she didn't say a whole lot, but when she did, she either like took you apart or lifted you up. Like there was no in between. You were, you played in those ranges with her. And she just, I loved her. I just loved everything about her. So.
And Aaron, you use animals also.
Yes. I have giraffes and penguins and goats and otters and I mean, why not?
Why
Why not?
not?
I said to my editor, if I can have a 20-year career and write a book with a giraffe in it, I'll be happy.
Oh.
She goes, "What's stopping you?" And I was like, "What is stopping me?" So I found a way to bring giraffes to the Louisiana bayou.
There you go.
Wow. I
That in
have
and
to
of
be a rom-com
itself is
then.
funny. Yeah.
Yeah, animals, but I also have elders. I have kids. I do like to bring in kids that are funny sometimes. Always the kids that are funnier, of course, like 10 but talk like they're 40, you know.
So precocious.
Yeah. My daughter though reads those. My daughter's not a romance reader, but she reads those because her biggest pet peeve is annoying children. So she'll read it and be like, okay, this is all right.
proves it. Newsflash, children are annoying in real life.
Yeah.
She would sign up on that petition. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I had two of them.
Exactly.
They're great.
Exactly.
You contributed. Yeah.
Like,
you know what you speak of.
I lived the annoying.
I was listening to Krista, you know, everybody talking about all the many, many boys in their lives. Like, I have three sons. The people across the street have five sons. Everything funny that happens in my books is because I've seen it unfolding in these
in real life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're just really big families out there, and they are ridiculous, and they make really good fodder for books.
And it shouldn't be real, but it is.
Yeah. Well, my small towns are that way because there's been more than one time, and one time in particular in Running with a Sweet Talker, she's running away from her wedding and she tases the local football hero, but I mean, he's an adult, in the balls. And there's, and the town, the booster club in the town is counting on his prodigy to be the future of this town's, you know, athletic future. And she's tased him in the balls, and they're trying to get her arrested for it because he may lose a testicle. And so because of that, and so I was telling my mom, I was like, okay, listen, this is over the top. I get it. But I mean, can't you sort of see this happen? She was like, Jamie, like right now, the school board is trying to stop a kid from moving out of the district because he's a star football player. Like they're petitioning, they're protesting around their house. Right. So I was like, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. This is fine. Yeah.
Totally. My whole life in small towns. And the only thing about them that's not true is that all the guys are not hot. Otherwise, all the stupid shit does.
Yeah. All the stupid shit. Yeah.
I've never seen an attractive police officer. Fireman, yes. Police officers, no.
Yeah. But the nosiness, it's not endearing and charming, but it's true. But it does happen. All of that is true.
I think we should thank a special group of people. I'm not sure if you have them, but I have them. It's Every Awful Ex.
Yeah.
I tell people I dated every jerk in Denver before I found David. And I used to really think that was like something awful in my past. And now it is just such good fodder for that horrible ex or the right this, the right that. So truly, like, shout out to all of you.
Thanks for being a jackass.
Thanks for leaving me at that sushi restaurant. You know who you are.
Exactly.
But it's true. I mean, it's funny how you can honestly, like, it's like highs and lows, right? You can really take your lowest moment and turn it into comedy.
Yeah.
And that's almost therapeutic. It's not. It really is. Sure. It's like, it's sort of just a driver for us. Like almost anything funny or crazy or terrible that happens to a heroine has probably happened to me, not the same way, but definitely like the devastation, the shock, the not knowing, all of that. So, I mean, it's almost like your hardest moments, you can almost like transform them into something you control.
But don't you think that that's what gives all of you guys, like your stories, the power that they have, the feat that gets people reading them is because yes, they're over the top funny. They're ridiculous. There's hilarious things happening, you know, but you can get the sense of true emotion. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of your stories, you balance this true emotion. You know, like, I feel bad for her when she got left at the table to buy her meal because he snuck out the window. Like, I think that it feels real. The emotion feels genuine. Is it hard for you guys to balance that? Like, to not be like, oh, she looks sad. Let's do something ridiculous.
I think for me, like, I don't take myself too seriously. I try not to. But I am like filing away these things that happen to me or others around me, and I try and think about like, well, how can I make some meaning of that in the text? I don't know if that.
And it depends on where it happens in the book. You know, if it's at the beginning, oh yeah, it's there's no holds barred. Like she gets left at the table, she's gonna have to wash dishes to get out of there, you know, or
It's
worse, you
ideal.
know, yeah, or worse. So, but if it's later and it's something where she's sad or something, I might not bring in humor just because I don't want to take away from the emotions of what's happening in the book, because
That's a
ultimately
good point.
it is a funny story, but it is a love story, and I want that to come through, you know.
Sure. That's such a good point. I think that's true. I think the characters come off as you, when you first get to know them, right? Just like as the reader is first getting to know them, it seems a little silly because you don't understand them. You don't know them. You don't understand their motivations. You don't really know what's going on. And then as you peel that layer, those layers back, you're like, oh, well, this isn't quite as stupid as it looked in the beginning, or this isn't quite as silly. Her reasoning, makes sense or whatever. So, yeah.
That's true of life. Like, think of getting to
Exactly.
know somebody, and maybe you don't know someone that well, and they react very strangely to a situation. And then as you get, you're like, oh, well, of course. Like, his dad walked out on him. No wonder when we're talking about this same situation with, something. Because I used to be a teacher, and I would talk a lot about like what inner city things would happen. And some people would just, I think, God, how could you be so cold or so aloof? And then you find out, oh, well, they've had that. That's, so it's just like Jamie said, maybe at the beginning he can look like the jerk or walk away or whatever, do something crazy. But then you're like, the story needs that. It needs to be woven back in, right? Like, and that's where, because like rom-coms, you have to have heart. If it's all just, like popcorn and cotton candy, it's just, there's nothing to hold on to. So I think rom-coms, you almost, it's almost, I want to say it's harder, but
No, I do think it's harder. I think that
you,
it is
it's a
harder.
ba it's more of a balance.
I think that writers that write rom-com, it is, there's more challenges in it. I think even writing versus writing suspense. Suspense, we know there's going to be a third big bad, right? Like you have a third main character with that big bad. So, you know, you can solve a lot of issues with just blame it on the big bad, right? You know, they can force situations. Rom-coms, you guys have to balance the heart, the couple, and a little enough of the chaos to make it feel light and, you know, funny and fluffy and but also that you're taking something away and you're like, oh, yeah, that was really great. I'm so glad I read that. And so I think that, and you have to have those memorable moments, right? Like the lines that stick with you, the situations that you're like still giggling and laughing about. So I think that I do think, Krista, that writing rom-com is actually one of the harder subgenres of romance to write.
It's hard. Oh, go ahead, Krista.
I was gonna say, Lee, just it has its own challenges. I mean, angst is hard because you can't stay up here all the time either, right? You have to, but I agree. So go ahead, Jamie. I'm just
Oh,
pulling.
I was just gonna say, and it's hard to know when you've gone too far. I mean, because you can go too far, and then you just have a book that's one funny, ridiculous thing after another, and we're left with why are we here? And I never want my readers to feel that way. I always want my readers to know if they're reading one of my rom-coms that we've started with this couple and we're going to see them do some crazy stuff, but in the end, you're going to get that romance feeling, that close the book, feeling. And if you just have funny scenes in there for the sake of being a funny scene, then it doesn't really pull the story along, in my opinion. But that's how I write. I mean,
Now,
I
that's
think
what I was
about.
going to say, though. I think that that's what's hardest sometimes, to make a funny scene or a silly scene or a ridiculous scene matter, right? Because they all have to matter. They all still have to be a part of the plot and the character growth and all of that. And so sometimes it's like, how do these goats, really fit into overall story. So yeah, I think it can be a challenge. And I also want my readers to feel like this story was ridiculous, but I wish it had happened to me. Like you don't want it to be
I
like,
love that.
oh, that was cringy, or you know, like that secondary embarrassment. You don't want that either.
And it's even so when I always kind of go back to teaching a lot because it's sort of how I learned my rhythm. And with kids, it kind of has to be a high to a low to a high. Like you can't have children silent reading for 90 minutes, right? Like maybe 20, and then there's an activity, and maybe it's this. And you need that ride to kind of get you through. And that's kind of how I think about, the books. Like they kind of have to have a little balance as you go through them. So,
I think, and I will make the statement, you can agree or disagree with me, I think that rom-coms dictate HEAs more than HFNs. I think that it's because they've been through so much in these books that if you survived all of that secondhand embarrassment, the chaos, and he is still like, you know, you fell down and are covered in honey or whatever, and he's still there in the end, that's forever. Because if I can make that big of an ass of myself and he still wants to kiss me, he's in it for good there.
That's
a good point.
You know what? Honestly, it has been years since I read an HFN. I don't even think I could come up with an example of an
I know,
HFN
I'm trying to think
just
too.
because I'm so, I seek out that that forever. Like I just want the comfort of that. And so the authors that I read, I know that they're known for that. So I don't know if I could list you an HFN.
I think the rom-com though too is such a good feeling. It's such a euphoric, this is fun, that I think an HFN would be a little bit of a letdown. Like for me, that's maybe just a me thing, but the HEA feels so much more like also I'm going to float away from this story.
I need them to be okay in a rom-com. And I need them to be okay forever and ever. Amen. Like,
No doubt. That's
Definitely.
all mine in with a wedding. Or
Or an engagement.
all my bride's books end in a wedding, and then my other two books are they're an engagement. They're we know they're getting engaged.
I mean, we all know I don't read epilogues, but I feel like all your books end in HEA, so
Just every time you just got to stab that knife in, don't you?
I do. I have a whole thing with epilogues, and it wasn't until Melanie Moreland, she threatened, if I do not read the epilogues in her books, she has threatened to kill me off in her epilogue.
So that's what it takes.
So yeah,
Got
so
it.
I have to read them to make
Noted.
sure she isn't like driving me off a cliff.
So we have to all have secondary characters named Becky
Becky.
that can die.
Becky gets it in the end because
She
she doesn't
gets it
make
in the
it into the
end.
epilogue.
Just pop like sprinkle her in like this Becky almost dying, like walking down the middle of the road on the train tracks. You're like, what's going on? What?
Can only
Suddenly
find out
everyone's
if
like,
she
I don't know what's
lives
going
in
on, but
the
like every book
epilogue.
has a Becky. And she has like these near misses in like every single
You know, it's so funny though, because you know, my other bad habit is I do not read blurbs, but I love writing
You're a very
blurbs.
good blurb writer. That's so funny to
That
me.
is funny.
I
You don't
don't
read
read them.
acknowledgments either, Miss
I
Ma'am.
don't read acknowledgments
I thanked you in like four pink books. And I'm like, you don't want to be like, hey, did you read
Yeah,
that?
right. Did you read that?
Hey, I was just wondering.
Did I spell your name right in this acknowledgement?
Do a quick edit of this
I
part.
would be sitting there going, oh my God, she hated that. Oh my God.
No. Yeah.
I'm so, you know, the thing is I am so grateful for every opportunity I get that I just, like,
Here
you
we
don't
go.
have to thank me. Like, I'm thanking you for letting me just be even this tiny little part. 'Cause I, you know, like, this is my dream job, right? Like, I get to do what I love and it is everything. And so I'm so grateful that I just get a little piece that, like, the acknowledgments, I don't know, I feel weird about.
We all listen, ladies. We all have to do some kind of acknowledgement to her,
I know, right? Like, oh my
Exactly.
gosh.
And it has to be like just totally outlandish.
Over
I
the
probably
top,
like getting killed
like my
off,
friend
let's be honest.
Thank you, Becky, for the kidney. It really came in handy.
The AA sponsorship has been really
sponsorship.
Right. When we met at that swingers party, I was never expected.
Who knew that real movie would turn into this?
Okay, wait. Speaking of swingers parties, okay. Two things. One, did anyone see the article today in the LA Times about the swingers motel in Palm Springs that's up for sale? Like, it's a legendary swingers hotel, but it's also a sign of times that people aren't traveling to swing anymore. Right. And all of that made me think is some very naive heroine needs to buy the motel.
To buy the motel without knowing that's what it's
absolutely. And people are going to start coming to it, and she's going to not know why there's a
run. Yeah. Yeah. Funny. Why are there so many upside down pineapples?
Speaking of that, on Schitt's Creek that we didn't know we needed.
In our town, I was driving down one of the side roads. There was an upside down pineapple, like right there on the porch, like blatantly there. So I tell
a sign of that.
It is.
According to TikTok, it is.
It is.
Okay.
Well, so I said something to our friends, my daughter's gunkles. I said, hey, upside down pineapples, that really means that. And they're like, yes. Could you tell us what street and house? And I'm like, whoa. They're like, we just want to drive by.
Can we drop a pin on that map?
I'm like, dudes, everybody sit down.
Fine. I'm still a little concerned about this motel not being able to make it. Like, if they can't make it.
Right.
Exactly.
But I also heard of, there is a camp, like an adult camp outside New Orleans every year, that is a swinger camp that like couples.
I can't think of a worse place to have a swinger camp.
And in the summer, like how sweaty.
In the sweat.
That doesn't sound like fun.
You know, Colorado would be really good for that.
It'd be really good for that.
There you go.
Or like Finland.
DIYing this more. You don't have to actually go away for swinging now. Right. You just do it at home.
You just put that pineapple out on the porch.
Yeah. And maybe it's not that hard anymore. Now with social media, it's so much easier to.
And then there'll be a goat eating your pineapple, and you'll be inside like, why isn't anybody coming to my house?
Right?
Feeling really depressed about how no one wants to go.
I can't even get a swinger party going.
I mean, you know.
I'm imagining you put a pineapple out as a decoration just because you think it's cute, and then the wind knocks it over.
And it's upside down. Yeah, it swings it around.
I have a William Sonoma pineapple somewhere that someone gave us for a wedding gift.
Oh, did they?
Did they
hear it to the wall? Well,
I gotta go back and find out who gave us that.
Maybe they had other ideas and you just didn't know.
It's been years and they're like,
been waiting 23 years.
She's never gonna call.
It'll
be a second chance at love story.
Second chance later in life.
Yeah. Second chance later in life.
Genre though, I love it.
Swingers. I mean, I'll tell you what. Swinging is the whole reason I watched Mom Talk on the Mormon Wives on Hulu. Yeah.
I didn't, but I was intrigued. I will say, when I saw the trailers, I was like, okay.
Well, and I was watching one of the late night guys, and I think it's like one of them is obsessed. Oh, John Oliver is obsessed with the Housewives of Utah.
Like, I just saw that.
Obsessed with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you have to fill me. I don't know anything about this. Just give me the TLDR.
So Mom Talk was this group of young Mormon moms in Utah that were all friends and they became influencers. They would dance in the 2020, 2021. And then I think it was in like the fall of 2023, the one, she got on her TikTok live and said, I'm getting a divorce. And the reason I'm getting a divorce is because we've all been swinging. Like, all the couples were actually swinging and doing stuff. And then Hulu gave them their own reality show where we got to meet all the moms of Mom Talk. And
it sounds like a B.B. Easton novel.
It is a little bit like a B.B. Easton novel. Yeah. I like to watch it just because, first of all, the amount of hair extensions and Botox that these women have, I'm like, okay, I don't get it.
I have figured out that I know way less about Mormonism than I thought I did.
I do too. My kid's piano teacher. This is very different than Miss
Yeah,
Meg.
Hair extensions and stuff. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, this isn't what I thought.
Yeah. But I did learn a lot of new things about different Mormon things. Like soaking. Like, I didn't know what that was.
I learned about soaking. What was that show? There was a show with all these senators who lived together in a house, a rom-com show. Oh, man. But that's where I learned about soaking.
Yeah.
Hey, tell the girl from Kansas who didn't learn
about soaking.
Soaking. It's...
You've penetrated, but there is no motion. You're just...
It's like the hot dogs in the bun.
You're just resting.
But you just rest there.
The hot dog is just resting in the ketchup.
Not ketchup, please.
Not ketchup.
It's like a boiled hot dog sitting in its juices.
Are you? Is it because you're like, are you both reading or not doing something sexual?
And no, because they can't have premarital sex.
If they're moving, if they're not moving, somehow it's not officially sex.
Right.
Okay. I mean, Krista, like you look down your face, right? You got it.
It's a weird loophole.
Yeah. I hated him too. No,
it's like they also Mormons
Indeed
don't.
It is.
Mormons don't drink tea or coffee, but they'll drink the hell out of some Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Like. Okay.
So they cheat with soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think like.
But not all Mormons.
Like. Honoring the nature of something, like you're not really honoring the nature of something. I'm just like looking at this. It does,
of course.
Listen, I am not a devout person, so I'm not in that headspace at all.
Yeah, not religious.
It's really commonly known that they go to Vegas, get married, have sex all weekend, get it annulled, and go back home on Monday.
I don't think God is up there like.
He is not.
Hold on, he is not. That at all?
Okay. Like, I don't think there's like a clock in, clock out.
Apologies to all of the Mormons who are going to be watching this later.
Probably not. Like, we've offended them off, I'm very certain.
I'm just learning so much here. So I have some TV to watch.
Later. I guess I kind of thought that like that would also like exclude hair extensions. And
right.
Botox and stuff, seriously. And then I learned about, and so I was like, oh, maybe I don't know as much about, which is very possible that the girl from Iowa.
And I feel like, because we've talked about TikTok, that I need to just put it out there that if you ever hear me say I heard or read something, I saw it on TikTok.
Like, I saw it on TikTok.
I can tell you I read it somewhere, but I saw it on TikTok.
You get all your news from TikTok.
All my medical advice.
You've read it on Threads.
Nobody
read it on Threads.
I'll say that to my kids. Did you see the thing? And they're like, did you get this from Threads? With that look on their face. Like, it's not even real. I'm like, come on. Some of the stuff on Threads.
Get off Threads. Listen, I offended a whole.
I do too. I do too. My kids are disgusted by this.
Threads is bonkers. It's the Wild West.
Why is Gen Z so hateful of Threads?
It's.
Who?
Gen Z.
Why do they hate Threads?
All of them. Yeah.
All of them.
You know.
Threads is very looked down upon.
Hold on. I need to make a list of all the people we're going to offend on this show.
Okay. Well, I did the amount of hate mail that I got when I made the statement that I didn't think Tom Sandoval was the villain that everyone thinks he is in Vanderpump Rules. The people that came at me, I was just like, whoa.
We should have talked about the rules ahead of time, what we can and cannot talk about.
Yeah, I watched every season of Vanderpump Rules because I made the mistake of watching Traitors. Did anybody watch Traitors over on NBC? Which y'all should watch it because I think it would be a fantastic setting for a rom-com.
I've heard it's good. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Alan Cumming's outfits are.
I love Alan Cumming.
Oh, I love him. Okay.
Chef's kiss. But it's hilarious. But I made the mistake of saying, I really like Tom Sandoval. I kind of hope that he wins. And someone was like, did you not watch Vanderpump Rules? He's a cheating cheater who cheats. And I'm like, I don't even know who he is, but okay.
Okay.
So I made Mike watch 9 seasons of Vanderpump Rules.
All right, that's love.
And then we went to Below Deck because we had to hear about Kate.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I was like, I still don't think Tom is the biggest villain in this entire show. And people were just like,
wow. They came at you.
They came at me.
The amount of passion that people have about some things.
Right.
I wish they had that kind of passion about my books.
It is the most fascinating thing I find on social media. Like the things that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
And the things that they are so passionate, they will fight for days in threads on and on about. I wish I'd taken more psychology classes in college because it's fascinating.
And like anthropology, I want to go back and learn more about that.
Yeah.
The amount of notes in videos that I make that never make it to TikTok or posts that ever make it onto the interwebs, you'd be shocked.
I can't wait to get to be about 80 and ready to burn down my career because I'm ready.
She's going to fold her. And fuck you.
I'm telling you, it's going to be epic.
I love when Nora Roberts eviscerates somebody because they deserve it. If you've got Nora Roberts to engage with the internet, you did
something.
Remember when someone was mean to her assistant? she was.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's Mama Bear.
I mean, doesn't mess
around. So, yeah, I gotta get her on our side because I think people are gonna be coming.
Nora loves us. It's fine.
I hope.
She does. I actually got a, I really, we did a Sip and Discuss review episode of The Search last year. And one of her assistants sent us a little email, just said, thank you for featuring one of Nora's books. Like, very sweet.
Like, yeah. Isn't that amazing that she even still cares? Like, that's so nice.
She deigns.
But you know, everyone says don't meet your heroes, but I would be okay chatting with Nora Roberts. I got to chat with Beverly Jenkins, queen. And Julie Garwood before she passed. We did one of her last interviews before she became ill.
I just reread The Secret and Ransom.
That is my favorite.
I love it.
The Secret.
Yeah.
I feel like we need more midwives in romance. You know,
that's very specific,
isn't it? A midwife, but think about it, they would have a very unique perspective, of life and couples. And
you would get in, you would wade into so many dirty waters.
I wrote a midwife who gets with a CPA, and that was the test book I wrote because my husband's CPA and he doesn't read fiction. And I was like, maybe if I write this CPA hero later, he'll be like, I read your new book. And he never had.
Not either.
Okay, so my gynecologist, I love her, and she reads my books, and I am 100% going to ask her, like, can you call a marriage, like, seeing it go through a pregnancy?
Oh.
Like, can you call
and a birth.
I want to know, like, what she knows about.
Because
you see people at their, like, that's it. Like, in labor, you see...
I bet she gets pretty close. I bet she does.
Before I did this, I was did hearing screenings for newborns. So the day after they were born, we'd go into their room, you know, the mom's room, and we'd do the screening. And you don't meet people at their best the day after they've had a baby. No. And there were a lot of situations that I was like, come on, baby, get this test over because this room is about to explode. If I don't, I mean, you know, you can just feel the tension in the room.
I fought in a lot of doctors and hospital rooms with Mike because of the boy child. And so I know several doctors have walked in and thought, oh, these two are not going to last. Listen, bitch. 27 years.
You're also not at your best when your child is in medical.
No. Well,
you are not.
Even when Mike was just had all his health issues, I'm fairly certain we fought in the waiting room.
Like, yeah. I just think once you walk into a hospital for like an actual need of your own or a loved one, you're instantly not your real self.
No.
Or maybe you're really, really.
You are your real self.
Yeah.
Unfiltered.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're all over 30, so I can say this without.
I'm sorry, 29. My birthday.
That was kind.
Our agreement upon marrying, my birthday cake is happy birthday, Krista, big 29. I have been That's 29 hilarious. For 20 years, my friend.
You go, friend.
You look great.
You look fantastic.
So we saw huge movements in rom-com movies and TV in the 90s and the early aughts. You know, we have the Nora Ephron age, and then, you know, there were so many TV rom-com shows, you know, showing the couple going through life and funny moments. Do you think that we are on the verge of that again?
I do.
There have been some great ones, man. What was the Sandra Bullock with and Channing Tatum? What was that movie? That was
like, oh my gosh, that was so, I just watched that again. I was it's shoot, I just watched it.
It was so good. I was laughing so hard that my husband came downstairs and was like, "Are you okay?" And
The Lost City, was that The Lost City?
Lost City. Yeah, I just watched it. I was on a retreat with Lucy Score and Erica Kelly, and we watched that. And I mean, Lucy and I had seen it. Erica had never seen it. We were laughing so hard. We had to stop it several times because we could not get ourselves under control.
Sobbing and
just so funny. Yeah.
Laughing till my abs hurt. Oh my Lord. And I felt the same about Fall Guy. And
yeah,
I liked Fall Guy.
That was a great
there
one.
Was some real big like feeling moments, and like Fall Guy had some teeth too. Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was great, and I would welcome 90 more movies. Just
I know. I feel like my personal opinion is I feel like society wants it. I feel like we're ready for that. I feel like everybody wants it. I'm very fearful that it can't be done well. Consistently. I don't think that there are movie studios that are going to do it well. I don't think there's the writers that are going to do it well. I think they're going to take books and try to adapt them and not do it well. That's what I'm afraid of. Because I think if you look back to those rom-coms that we all love, that we go, oh yes, those were original scripts.
Right?
And they were written by people like Nora Ephron.
Yeah.
I just don't think.
Do you know Nora Ephron tried to write a novel and was told that her skills weren't that great? And that's why she started writing
it's
films.
Just it's just a different thing. So again, I do think there's a place in society. I think people would go see them, but I don't know that it'll be done the same way. So I'm a little concerned.
My concern is I have seen some great rom-coms. I mean, you know, my very favorite, Notting Hill. You'll love that one. It's so good. But I've also seen rom-coms and I'm like, wait, did I miss something? In the editing, while they're trying to edit it down, they take out chunks that would have that were kind of critical to the story. And so then you just kind of go from this funny, funny thing, there's a deep thing, and then all of a sudden we're happy. There's no working through emotions. And I think you get from Notting Hill and some of the others, you know,
certain beats, right?
They skip them. They take them out during editing. Yeah.
And I think that they sacrifice the heart moments for the funny moments that we were talking about before, where you have to have both. They'll take out those heart moments because they want the laughs.
Yeah.
And so many times you see a trailer and then you've seen the movie, right? You've seen oh, that was the entire highlight.
Yeah.
So, I will say Netflix has done some really good ones. So like some of their Christmas ones have been really good over the past, I would say though, like 5 years. I don't know if last year had any big hits that I can think of, but.
I liked Hot Frosty or whatever the hell that was.
You did not.
I just needed it. I was not in a good place.
Which one was Hot Frosty?
She's on the sofa like that.
It's okay. It's okay, Christmas. It's okay. It's okay.
I liked it. It was like Lacey, what's her name?
Chabert.
She sometimes I just need her on a screen to be
sure.
I was okay with it. I know it was a little bit.
I liked the Brooke and Carrie Elwes, and they had a castle in Scotland. And I liked that.
People I like that too. Yeah,
I was totally there for it. So I support you and your Hot Frosty.
I just sometimes you need that. I mean, sometimes you just need that.
You do.
I feel like Hot Frosty, you just had to go in with the right expectations, and I did not. So
okay.
That was on me. That was quite
on me. Okay, but wait. But if you liked that, Sarah Bale has a really spicy group of novellas. Santa falls in love with a sex phone worker, and Jack Frost falls in love with her best friend. Like, they are the spiciest. And the Santa Claus, and the first one, he wants to make her Mrs. Claus, but she has to get off the naughty list in order to come to the North Pole because she can't be on the naughty list.
I love that premise. That is
me too.
That's so cute. Yeah.
I loved, put those in the show notes.
Yeah. I love Nobody Wants This. That, you know, it was a
I did too. Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. I loved it.
Oh.
For a couple of reasons. I loved it because I love the way they told it in these 30-minute episodes. Like the pacing was so fast and so great. But I also loved it because it was funny, but it was also yeah, it was hard and it was real. I love the sister thing. I love the, you know, I just love.
I have
all
a premise though. I have a theory about that though. I do not think that show would have done well as a book because I don't think that heroine. I don't think.
Oh no, she's not. Like a, heroine. She wasn't very likable.
People wouldn't have liked. I know. No.
But, and I like her. I like messy heroines, but a lot of readers don't.
No, they don't.
Heroines get beat up, and I just think the Kristen Bell character is so great.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would have been liked by readers.
Mm-mm. Agree.
That's very good.
But I love her. Like, I need her like that.
Yeah. Same. That show wouldn't be the same if she wasn't.
Right.
But I feel that same way about like Grace from Will and Grace.
Definitely.
You know, because she was successful and business minded and very straightforward thinking, you know,
and made lots and lots of mistakes.
Yeah. I don't think she would make a great heroine. I think readers would be incredibly critical. The other one that I think people don't think about is Dharma from Dharma and Greg. With her free spirit and just accepting of things. I think that people would be like, oh, she's just too stupid to live. And it's like, but was she, or was she just true and authentically herself?
Right. I love that show. I haven't thought about that show in a long time.
It
was a good one. Love that show, and I need someone to reboot a rom-com romance book that's like that. Either he's the hippie and she is the straight-laced over.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah,
you know, I'm all for
Insta-love. See, nobody likes Insta-love, but yeah, we do. We really like Insta-love.
what's the movie? It's so good where she's just getting divorced and she goes on that like nature trek hike, and then the guy leading it is like somebody she knows.
Is it the Catherine Center book?
No. This is a Netflix movie.
And then she
goes, she kind of like finds herself on this hiking trail, but she also kind of falls in love with this guy who's always liked her.
I think it is a Catherine Center book.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, and Hannah Bonham Young wrote one similar to that, Out of the Woods, or a similar premise, and I loved it.
Oh, it was so good. Out of the Woods. And Out on a Limb was also very good. Her new book that comes out on Tuesday. Amazing.
Oh, of course you got to read it early.
You know, listen, there are some benefits.
There's some perks.
Happiness for Beginners.
Yes. Look at me trying to find it.
Yeah. It's a Catherine Center book. Yeah.
I really like that. Is it? Yeah. It was.
Well, so that sounds like that was a successful adaptation.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So many times they just don't do books well. It makes me sad. No,
I know. Yeah. And there's so many being bought right now. I mean, every day.
People don't believe me. We just did an episode on film and TV rights, and we talked about all the books that got picked up and the likelihood of what's actually going to get made.
Yeah, I know.
And then some of the stuff that we learned about authors actually taking on executive producer roles versus taking the profit, the payout profit, they're taking it in a different form as executive producer, which, okay, business minded, great. And more likely the book will probably get made, but you know, you see people every week so excited, like, this book got bought. And I'm like, it's not going to be there for a couple years if it makes it.
Yeah.
Right.
If it makes it, yeah.
They've made Elle Kennedy's Off Campus. Like, the trailer looks really good.
It does.
They've made that look good. So I'm hopeful of that. I'm not a big college age demo. That's not usually my thing, but.
They just optioned Butcher and Blackbird, which
I saw that. Yeah,
I believe that'll get made because it's so.
I think so too.
I'm surprised it's taken this long. Two serial killers fall in love, and it's a rom-com. Yeah,
well, it's so different. Yeah, I think it might get made too because it doesn't have a lot of competition.
No,
and I just reread the third one in that. I just felt like I needed it. It was my favorite, and I maintain that those aren't, they're not dark romances at all. Like
They're not dark at all.
they're cinnamon roll, like green flag heroes, apart from the murdering.
For the killer part.
But even Nevessa Allen's her Lights Out and All Caught Up, I would say are not dark romance. They're
I haven't read
rom-coms.
those.
I mean, they're stalkers, but there's, you know, he's a kitty daddy. He loves the cat.
Right.
Like, I mean,
He just has a weird hobby.
he just stalks people and
Right.
kills them. Like, I'm
I mean, if you're going
sorry.
to do stalker or serial killer, though, like me, I'd probably go, well, okay, you can follow me around as long as you don't kill me.
Oh, see, I think that's a quitter.
How much do you really like me?
Don't you want to kill me? You only want to
You
watch?
only want to watch me?
What the
What?
heck? I'm worth being murdered.
Being
Not
murdered.
worthy of being stabbed.
Gosh.
I did watch, did you watch the Thursday Murder Club that's the older
Yes.
people in the retirement center?
That was exquisite.
It's
And
so funny.
I've read the differences between the book and the movie. I haven't read the book, but that show was so well done. Pierce Brosnan was loving himself in that role.
Yes.
It was delightful.
But
Love
okay,
that.
but I need a rom-com now, like the daughter taking over the manor and
Have
trying
you
to.
watched Only Murders in the Building?
Yes, I
Yeah.
love that
Love
show.
it.
Love
Love
it.
it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I love Meryl Streep in that, and the you know the romance that is present in that show is a delightful
It
element.
really is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
it
agree.
really is. It gets better. Very few show, in my opinion, very few shows get better like third season, right?
Right.
Fourth season. Usually it's like the first two, three are really fun and then you stick with it because you love it. This
Yeah.
keeps getting better. Like I would actually not rewatch the first season. I would start with season two. That's what I keep telling
Although in the
people.
first season you did have the cat that the guy was
Yes.
obsessed with his
I mean, there are
cat.
important things about the first season, but it's definitely not as fun. The first
No.
season's like way angstier than like,
Yeah.
later. Then they like realized, oh, let's just be silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really leaning in right now.
They really are. I told my son really likes it too, but I said, I don't know if it's even as fun for you because like all of the guest stars are definitely for like my demo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if you know who these people are.
Right.
We watch it with the kids. They're into it.
Yeah, he really does like it. He was so funny. You guys, the funniest thing. So he's 24, so age level, right? And so this started when he was what, 2020, probably, right? 2019, he was in college. And he goes, you know, it's kind of cool how it just comes out once a week because then you talk about it in between and then you really anticipate it. He goes, we all get together and we watch it and we're excited about it. And I'm like, huh, yeah, that is
A
kind of
new
cool.
concept.
Weird that they've never thought of that
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, the binging is interesting. My son is watching Lost, and of course, he's just watching it right through, and he's having such a different experience than me watching Lost.
yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to spend 4 months wondering what's the deal with the polar bear. Like,
Right.
there are shows you can really tell, obviously, that they were not made for binging, right? Because, like, there's so much repetition as
Yeah.
you watch the episodes. You're like, I know this. Like, let's get on with this
But I
thing.
also think one of the things that's really interesting is children do not have that experience of summer reruns.
I
No.
know,
You
right?
know,
They
'cause there's new
don't.
content in the summer. I
Yeah.
mean, I didn't watch Big Brother this year. They were annoying. I was
Well,
like,
and also
after
reruns
school.
are available to them whenever they like. They don't
Right.
have to be home at 3 o'clock.
Right. My husband was like, can you imagine if you missed it, you just missed it. And then you had to hope in the summer you were around when it was on.
Hope that they played that one.
Yeah,
Or
that
you
and
were
you were
from a
you
Richie Rich
yeah.
family that had a VCR and taped certain shows,
Oh no,
like
that was ooh, I will that was
never
lame.
forget the one time my mom worked second shift and we always recorded Knots Landing for her. And one time my dad recorded the Cowboys game over top of
Oh
her
boy. Oh no.
finale of Knots Landing. And I have to write this into a book someday because it is it like sticks out in my memory as the worst thing my parents ever did to one another. Like it,
I was gonna say, and then people are like, and when did your parents get divorced? And you're
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Wait,
That
so my
should
mother had a soaps tape, and every day
never
from one to two, she would tape Days of Our Lives.
forget.
And
Wow.
I'll never forget the one time it didn't tape. And I really thought that like that was gonna be the end of Lynn and Ray. Like
Yeah. The house was getting burned
that
down.
was not gonna
Four moving
be
out. That was
not
it.
good.
Okay, so how many of you did watch daytime soaps? 'Cause
Oh.
It's perfect fodder for rom-coms. Like, seriously, like your heroine could be possessed by the devil and the priest could come in and save her. I mean,
stuck in a hole. My husband still goes, she's probably still stuck in that hole. She probably is.
Well, and then
I knew kids that got to stay home from school to watch Luke and Laura get married.
Right.
Really?
What was that? General Hospital? I didn't know.
Yeah, that was General Hospital.
Okay. Because we were Days of Our Lives people. But I remember a girl and she got to stay home from school to watch.
Yeah. I was the Days of Our Lives. I was NBC. CBS person. Because my grandmother was, As the World Turns, Days of Our Lives.
I did watch One Life to Live.
That was me too.
And Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch General Hospital until I went to college. I didn't have a TV in my room. And so there was a TV in the main room. And so I watched it there.
So Becky, are you saying that you think that this is the pipeline to rom-com romance writers?
I'm wondering. daytime soaps. Well, I can tell you that so I love a messy book, right?
Oh, I did. Oh, have you read The Wedding People? We'll go back to that.
I haven't read The Wedding People yet.
I'll cross my finger. Go.
Okay. But I love a messy book. And we read Cynthia Williams, her Peachtree Grove series. Yes. And these people are messy. Messy. And Leah interviewed her and she's like, oh, where did you get your inspiration? She's like, well, I really liked daytime television. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. True. I actually never thought about that.
It is true.
But the messier a book, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot about One Life to Live because I was always such a Todd stan and they made
him like
a bad guy, but a soap opera can redeem somebody.
Yes. He was a bad guy.
Yes.
You really liked him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so I feel like I learned so much from watching stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
do you remember Sammy?
Yeah.
Yes. Sammy. Oh, she was bad.
But now she's the star of Days of Our Lives. Like, she's the new Marlena.
Remember when she put on the perfume to smell like her sister and then seduced Austin?
Yes.
Yes.
That was college for me. That was every day, 1 o'clock.
But don't you think you could use something like that? Gone terribly wrong in a rom-com.
Before you have to watch, hold on, it's called You're the Worst. If you want a dark rom-com, I just stumbled, I think it's on Netflix. It's older, but you get, I think it's 3 or 4 seasons. They are so damaged and horrible, but you love them. You 100% love them. They are the worst characters you could. And they completely deserve each other. But then you fall in love with it because, you get to know them.
Yeah.
They continue to just be terrible. And it's
look at her face.
She's delighted.
And they're messy.
But it's interesting because if you wrote those characters, readers would not.
No.
They would not go for that. That's so funny because the different mediums and what you can get away with and what you can't.
I wrote one character where she was the one who left, the opportunity was hers, to have the second chance romance. I get the most.
Exactly.
Like
heaven forbid a woman have any ambition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Do any of you have audio and do people receive the characters any different in your audiobooks? I feel like I have different sets of reviews. I have an unlikable heroine in my book Foundation. She's but in the audio, Carly Robbins is the narrator and people
love her because she's Carly Robbins. I mean, Carly Robbins is awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
I do have audio. I don't think I've noticed that it's different, but I was scarred early in my career by unlikable heroines. So I guess I have to be honest, I'm a little more careful with them now.
Yeah, me too.
I will tell you though that reading a character in audio can sometimes feel very different than reading a character in the book. We did a review and I can't even think of what review we were doing. And I was like, oh, it didn't bother me. It didn't bug me but I did
That's
the audio.
So interesting.
Yeah. So it ended up being Oh, I know it was the Catherine Cowles books we reviewed, but I didn't even like the book. But the heroine didn't annoy me as much.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like. Well, and kudos to Carly. That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like within the soap operas, you can see their facial expressions. It does something different to the dialogue. And definitely Carly is like conveying, I think, a vulnerability.
Yes. That you don't get some on the page. Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, tell us about Wedding People, Jamie.
It is.
Because I see it everywhere.
A perfectly messy book. It is. I loved it from beginning to end. It was one of my very favorite books this year, and it is a romance, but it's not a romance. I mean, it's not like there's no sex on the page, or well, that's not true. I guess there is sex on the page, but it's not, you know, explicit or anything. It's just spicy, not spicy, you know.
like my husband would say,
like spicy. Your husband would say, yeah. I don't even know if it probably is just spy, not even spicy, but it's just funny, and the characters are just so messy. It's, and I won't say anything else because really you should go into a blind idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the first chapter you're just like, what?
I mean, yes. So you're the worst is similar if for a TV show.
Yeah.
You're just a hot fucking mess.
Yes. Yeah.
You're there for it. You're like, you're there.
And I like the messy. Give me the messy.
Yeah.
But you know, because some of my favorite characters for each of you are these very messy, messy heroines.
Yeah,
you have to be careful because people really are tough on women.
They're very hard.
They are.
Yeah, it's hard. And you would think that they'd be more relatable, right? Because aren't we all a little messy?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think some of it is that you see that as your own fault or your own stumbling block? Like, somebody that is plus size and somebody that is always been on the louder side, like my whole life I've been told indoor voice, quiet voice, you know. So if I come across a heroine who is plus size, who's very loud and unashamed and just living her life full and loud, it can be depending on how she's received by the hero or the people around her can truly define how I relate to her. You know, am I mad at her because everybody seems to just accept her as she is and no one's telling her to be quiet or you don't fit here, so to speak?
Right.
Or is everybody around her, you know, treating her in similar experiences that I had growing up? Like, don't be too loud. Don't wear that, you know, you must, you know, blend in more and stuff like that. So I think that it can sometimes be a little bit more of your own relatable experience. Yeah. And then you hate her because, well, it wasn't like that for me.
Yeah. It's like a mirror, or it's, she got something you didn't get. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then
she has it so easy. It's not like that. Really.
Yeah, I had that experience. Angelina M. Lopez, her After Hours on Milagro Street, that heroine is brass and loud. Yeah. And her family is a little bit of like, you can dial it back. Some of them are just like, is who she is. I loved her as a heroine. And there are some funny moments. And the hero, everyone's like, oh, he's such a cinnamon roll. He really is, and I don't typically love that kind of hero, but he also has a backbone. Oh, you know, like, he lets her go, but he doesn't just fall at her feet.
Yeah.
And Angelina M. Lopez, she gave a talk about writing unlikable heroines because she's gotten so much feedback for these. She's written a few heroines like that, like Alex, and boy, I just loved that book, and it was hilarious. It's
so funny. It's so funny.
It's got real teeth to it and real issues, and that heroine does a lot of growing on the page, but also remains loud and brass and impulsive.
Yeah. And I am that person. You know, just say what I say, and I don't always think it out, and I might have an idea, but not a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and age has not tempered that for me. There are moments where I think maybe it's worse.
That's what makes you so authentic too.
Well, because there was no filter, just broke a long time ago.
Well, and I think that's the thing about writing these heroines. I think sometimes you have to just decide, this is who she is, and I'm going to go all in. Yeah. And I think when you lean in unapologetically, that can sometimes help. Yeah. If it's just like, this is who she is, everyone accepts it, she accepts it, we just acknowledge that that's what she is. I think that sometimes when I have misstepped with heroines, it's when I haven't done that.
Yeah.
When it's a little bit more like, this is who she is, but we're tiptoeing around it. Or,
yeah,
she's apologetic for it. I think sometimes that can be a mistake. And I think I've learned too. I think you have to motivate these people properly. And you have to, you know, explain who they are. And I didn't always do that when I was.
Yeah. And I think so much of it is about giving them the right supporting cast.
Absolutely.
You know, like if a heroine is a little bit extra, but she has a girl gang around her who supports that,
then
maybe it comes off different to readers.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I mean, I'm or team parents. Make them messy. So, you know,
It's so easy to give people like bad parents. My mom commented at one point about that. She's like, is there something we should talk about?
I had a reader
and
say,
I had the best parent.
Yeah, I know. I had the very best mom, and all my moms are terrible.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know. I'm just working off of like what I don't know. But then I think if you give them very supportive parents, that can also be good, because I think a lot of people who see themselves too much in some of these heroines didn't have that support. So, I'll never forget my mom. Like my
do we need to talk?
Was like, I mean, I'm sorry. No conversation.
I think, Krista, you did your special edition hot dog cover for your nanny. Nobody
liked it.
What?
Nobody liked the hot dog.
Well, cover. My girl child, I was like on my phone and saw it, and she was like, somebody really likes hot dogs. I'm like, I think it's adorable. It's just like,
it didn't hit.
It's weird.
I mean, I was happy with it, but it didn't hit. And that's going to happen.
It is. Always worry when I like something, when I think something's hilarious, I always worry.
Yeah.
I might be the only one who thinks this is funny.
Okay. So I'm going to ask two more questions and then we'll, you know, cause we've already been gabbing for like over an hour. Doesn't feel like it though. Right.
I'm shocked.
Okay. Currently, what is one trend in rom-com that you are loving that you hope sticks around for a while?
I like the green flags now, and maybe it's just the world we're living in, but I need somebody a little already solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can have stuff going on, but I need a center.
Yeah. I just read Summer Romance, and he was just adorable. And it was that he had all the green flags. Now he had stuff going on, but he just was.
Yeah.
The anchor. Like, she was messy, but he was the anchor. And I just
loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did. It needed that. Yeah.
I'm really loving like quest adventure type of rom coms.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, in After Hours on Milagro Street, they're like questing for this missing whiskey, and Catherine Nolan's Thrill of the Chase, they're like looking for buried treasure together. So I'm into these like scavenger hunt.
Actually, Jen Ellen, one of our listeners, is probably going to fuss at me, but in the 90s, do you remember everybody was an archaeologist?
Yes.
I would love that back, because I actually have found a couple of rom-coms where, you know, she's an archaeologist, he's love an archaeologist. That. I mean, the adventures.
Yeah.
I think, you know, give me the thrill of like a chase kind of moment, or even like, what's the world traveling adventure reality show?
Oh, Great Race.
Great Race.
The Great Race. Amazing Race.
Amazing Race. There it is.
But honestly, like, give me a Survivor setting
romance.
Come on. Will anything ever be better than Romancing the Stone?
Like, nothing.
Nothing. No, it's great.
When we watched it, I think we're all about the same. It was, she was just, I had stars in my eyes for both the hero. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, honestly, we wouldn't even have to remake it. Let's just put it back in the theaters.
We should just put it on and watch it. And just all four of us just watch.
Let's do that.
We're five.
Let's do a watch party, Becky, of Romancing the Stone.
We could do a watch party of Romancing the
That would be
Stone.
so good.
Yeah.
That would
Yeah,
be.
when he rips that skirt and then she wears it like that the rest
Right?
of the time. Oh,
Oh,
I just
yeah.
love it.
They slide down that hill and he lands in her. Come on.
It was no, it's so good. I love the rom-coms though. So like Romancing the Stones, but I wasn't necessarily like in love with Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
But give me, you know,
Sleepless in Seattle.
While You Were Sleeping
Oh, you
or
know that's my favorite.
Yeah.
How to
While
Lose
You
a
Were
Guy in
Kind of
10
Messy.
Days.
It's
It
messy.
is messy. It's my
It's messy.
favorite movie.
But
Absolutely.
you just want her to be loved from the first moment you see
Yeah.
her.
Sailor hugger. Be like,
Yeah.
you can come to
And
my
that's,
house for Christmas
yeah.
every single year.
I mean,
Right?
even like 27 Dresses,
I love
Bridget
that one
Jones'
too.
Diary, like I love
Yeah.
those. But I
Yeah.
actually, my secret like laugh, I loved the American Pie movies. They're
Yeah.
so terrible. They're so terrible. That and Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes.
Oh,
They
I
were
did like Can't
so
Hardly Wait.
naughty
Yeah. Yeah.
and terrible, but like
Yeah.
I still something will come up and somebody will say, "Remember that one time?" I was like, "Was it at band camp?"
Wasn't it band camp? Yeah, this one time at band camp.
Was it at band camp? Oh,
I
Joe
wish
versus the
any other
Volcano.
actress had done 27 Dresses, though. I
That was a
wish it was
funny
not
one.
Katherine Heigl.
Joe
No, I
versus
just
the
think it was the
Volcano.
right way. Yeah.
I loved Joe versus the Volcano.
It's so
The
funny.
luggage popping up
I
out of the
haven't
water
seen
and they make it into a raft.
that forever. I'm gonna have to do a
I can't
rewatch.
remember it either, but I need
Was
to.
so funny.
I do remember that scene, though.
Very
Yeah.
young Tom Hanks, though. I would watch that again
Yeah.
just for that.
Yeah, it's worth
Very
it.
young.
Okay.
The one where she goes to the town and she thinks she's talking to a psychologist, but he's the vet, and she got this house and the baby. Remember, she like got adopted a
Oh,
baby.
yeah,
Was
it's
the
Baby Boom, which
Yes,
yes,
that's a
that's a
really
great
good
one.
one
Yeah.
too. And
She
she's
was,
like, the house doesn't work. I'm trying to
yeah.
think
She
what.
was like this big corporate,
Right. Yeah.
80s
All of these.
corporate person, and then
That
she
one I barely
inherits a
remember.
baby and
Yes, that's it.
has to,
She
she
starts the baby
chooses to
food
leave.
chain, right?
Yes, the baby food
That's
chain. Yeah.
right. And
Yeah.
she ends up in like Vermont or somewhere
Yes.
great like
Yeah.
that. Baby Boom. That's
Yeah.
another one. We can watch that one
That
next.
one's
Yeah.
old. That one's really old, I
That one
think.
is old, but
Yeah.
it's a good
Yeah.
one.
Crazy Stupid Love with
Oh,
Ryan
that
Gosling.
one's messy
That
too.
one is
Speaking of,
so messy, and if you think about
yeah.
it, the mom in that,
Yeah.
she's not super likable.
No, not really. No, not really.
I mean,
Yeah. That's really God. We're covering like 30, 40 years of
yeah,
rom-coms here between
I
Baby Boom and
yeah,
Crazy Stupid
yeah.
Love.
No, we are.
We could teach a class somewhere. There's someone
Seriously,
at Harvard is like, that's a good point.
there's so much fodder.
I want it back though. I want those soft, funny
I know.
love movies, you
I
know?
worry that there's no current. Okay, I might be wrong, so you guys tell me. I worry there's no current Meg Ryan or Sandra Bullock. Like, who is a current who can
Yeah.
really pull that off and be like the sweet, messy, but awesome heroine?
Right. And
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon is too
Reese
old.
Witherspoon.
They're
Sweet Home Alabama.
yeah.
Absolutely.
But it
Right.
she's too old to play that young 20 something,
Yeah. I
know. And
30
I just don't
something.
feel like there's anybody like, I mean, Emma Stone is even kind of too old
Yeah.
for someone.
Or Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
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 But they're too, they're in their 30s and
Everybody's doing angsty shit now.
yeah.
We need a cute, funny young
The
girl.
chat is saying there isn't one. And then they're
Ah, this is
talking
what I'm
about their
afraid
love of the
of.
John Hughes movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pretty in Pink. Oh my God.
Oh,
16
yeah.
Candles.
Love those.
And then Allison here says, if you know Krista's books, you will always laugh at her food addictions. There is always food in Krista's books.
I do have quite a relationship with food. I've had a
Mean,
problem my whole life. So, funnel cakes.
things we bring into our writing,
It's, I
the real
mean,
life things.
perfectly fine. What is one trope or scenario in rom-coms you will never get tired of writing? So I will say my favorite is Married in Vegas.
Oh, I
Like,
love a good Married in
wake up
Vegas.
married in Vegas.
Yeah, like how did that happen?
I love
Like
that.
when I wrote Running from a Rock Star, which is a Wake Up Married in Vegas.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so clever. I mean, it's been
There's a
so
couple
done.
others.
It had been so done, but I was like,
It's
well, I was writing
always
it.
fun.
This is so clever.
Always
Like it's a
fun.
bubble. Like they're in that bubble, right? It's Vegas. Everything's exciting. Everything is go, go, go.
It's always messy because you're never going to
Always.
walk out of that one okay.
Always messy.
Yeah. I will read the hell out of it. I will always read that book too. Like, I'll always read that trope too. I love it.
I love writing fake dating. I love reading fake
I
dating.
do too.
Waking Up Married in Vegas is often, a fake relationship
Yes.
trope, and I just love it.
I love fish out of water. I love putting a
I do
rich person
too.
in a small town and they have no idea what to do.
And
I
you know,
love
with
that.
Rockstar, because it was my first book, I have Fish Out of Water, I've got Wake Up Married in Vegas, I have Opposites Attract, I have Found Family. I just kept throwing them in. I didn't really even know I was doing
The
it, but
kitchen sink book. Yeah, I love it.
yes, it
I mean,
is
I think we all
funny.
have that moment, but I did see Runaway Bride is another one. So, Jamie, like, you caught me because there was
I do.
like,
I had them all.
I Wake Up Married,
Is the
Runaway
whole
Bride.
series that, Jamie?
Five runaway brides. Yeah.
So, do they all have different reasons for running
Yeah,
away?
they do.
That's
Actually, when
awesome.
I wrote the first one in my critique group, we were talking about the second one, and I knew it was going to be Luann. And one of them said, oh, I would love for Luann to be a runaway bride. And I said, yeah, but Scarlett's really a runaway bride. And then I went, series. And then we all just piled on, and that's what it is. Yeah, they all run away for different reasons.
I
One
did
is
that with a
actually,
brother's.
I mean, she runs away on the night of her rehearsal dinner. So
Okay.
she's
Close
not
enough. Like
close enough.
ready. Totally, totally. I did that with a brother's best friend series. I was like, I love this trope. They're all gonna be he's gonna have four best friends and they're all getting with his four sisters. Why not? Let's
Well,
just go
what is
for it.
romance? Tell me the same story, but do it different. Right?
My favorite first line is from my fourth book in that series. A bride walks into a bar. That's the first.
That's
I
perfect.
wrote that book because I wanted to write A Bride Walks
Into
Into
a
a Bar.
bar.
Which is
Did you
not
guys ever
unusual where
see?
I live in Northwest Ohio. Brides walk into bars all the time.
Time. My favorite. See, have you guys ever seen In and Out with Kevin Kline?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember it. What's the
Okay, so
thrust?
he's going to get married, but he's learning that he's gay. He's like figuring out that he's gay. It is, oh my God, Kevin Kline, maybe my favorite Kevin Kline movie, but I really like him in lots of things. Like French Kiss is one of
French
my
Kiss.
favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say
But
French
the
Kiss. Is
funniest scene is his sister, who is Cusha, Joan Cusack, who's like a runaway bride sitting on the curb outside of a bar, everybody driving by her in her wedding dress. That's the scene I always think about when I think of what runaway brides. I'm like, that's the scene because you're not supposed to be happy about this, but then all the rom-coms that are like, let's go.
Get in.
I have a runaway bride who, car breaks down the middle of nowhere, dress gets ripped
Of
trying to.
course.
I mean, there's just something really fun about putting people that shouldn't be, like taking them and putting them in worse
It's not a
situations. The
runaway bride.
worst
situations.
It's not a runaway bride book unless she's in her wedding dress.
Right. And something horrible has to happen in that
Yes.
dress, like the beating,
I
something.
mean, the hero has to, I think, meet her in her
When
dress.
she's in the wedding dress.
Like that is, that's like a requirement.
Because you look insane.
Of
Imagine,
course.
here you are all like disheveled in a wedding dress.
Exactly.
This guy, the lumberjack comes along. Like, of course he's gonna be like, what is wrong
And
with
how he reacts to that is the setup. That's the whole,
him?
it tells you
That's the
exactly
whole
who he
setup.
is, too.
He finds out she has to live somewhere horrible, and he's like, oh, hell no, you're not living in that cabin. You're living with me. Like, oh, I think it's the rescue. I think there's still something very romantic about a
The
rescue.
rescue. Or my
Absolutely.
runaway bride, where the hero has to be talked into going to help her.
Yeah.
He's not the knight in shining armor at first, till they all go, oh my God, go, what are you doing? He's like, oh Jesus, okay, fine.
But those guys are fun too because those usually become so gooey on the inside,
Oh yeah. He's like,
right?
this looks like a lot of trouble. This looks like
Right,
work. I'm not sure.
right,
Why would
right.
I go after this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do what is next for each of you, either your latest release or a book you have coming out, and then we'll finish up. Jamie, what is next for Jamie Albright?
It is this book I'm working on, The Summer That Changed Us. And I don't know when it, probably right after the first of the year is what I'm shooting for, but yeah.
And we will, on our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com, there will be links to connect with all the authors on their social media and their website. So make sure you sign up for newsletters and stuff like that so you can know when these releases are happening. Krista, what's next or what just happened for Krista Sandor?
Krista Sandor just had a book come out, Always Meant for You. And then we're going to have a pretty big Christmas anthology of short stories coming. And then I've sort of been like squirreling away. I have a couple books already written and then I'm going to start on one. So next year is going to be like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of
year. Wow. So you're writing ahead.
I want to because I'm so jealous of people who can do that.
Yeah.
That I want to train myself. It's hard though. Let me tell you, it's hard to sit on books and be like, well, you know, I mean, this is still a job and a business and they're not doing anything for me, but I'm hoping, you know, next year I will have a big year like that. But yeah, so there's, it's a hockey romance. They're rom-coms. So he's a hockey player. There's a one bed and a bet, two booths and a lie. And then we're going to have to all get together and figure out my
third
books.
Title.
I love doing that kind of stuff.
Tell
me anytime.
Lainey, what's next for you?
I have my rom-com You Will Be Sorry, October 9th. If you like goats and shenanigans. this will be a wide release, so you can get it everywhere, including the library.
Excellent.
Oh, great.
And then a Hanukkah book.
And you, well, she has her Hanukkah book coming out.
And then, yes, Lit for Him will be up in time for Hanukkah.
Oh, I love that.
That's a great title. I didn't realize that was the title. Did it have that title always?
Yeah, but when you edited it, it probably didn't have the title page stuff. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's so good.
We do that. We keep the title secret from Becky. So while she's editing, she doesn't know what it's called.
Hey, listen, there are times that happens.
I didn't know I was writing that book. It just came out and I emailed her. I was like, Becky, when do you have time?
It was in July. Like I was celebrating Hanukkah in July. So
yeah.
That's the hardest part about writing holiday books.
It is.
Yeah. Erin Nicholas, what is next for you? Or what just currently
unless you're
happened?
Like Erin Nicholas and you decide to write a Christmas book at the last minute and so you're writing it in September. I have a Christmas book coming out called Merry Mayhem. And it's, crazy, over the top, small town, Christmas, kicking off a new series that I'm going to start then, hopefully in January. So hopefully it's coming out in November. That would be good. It really can't come out like...
It will be coming out in November.
Got it.
It really shouldn't come out much after that, huh?
No, probably not.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Merry Mayhem, hopefully November sometime.
Okie doke. So quick shout out to our amazing Patreon community. Your support keeps the podcast running and lets us bring you even more bonus content, reading guides, exclusive Discord chats. If you're not a member yet, you can check out our one tier over there on Patreon. We'd love to have you as part of our bookish crew. Thank you, friends. Thank you so much for coming and
so
hanging
fun.
Out with me tonight.
It was so fun. Yeah.
Very fun. Let's do it again.
I would love that. This was fantastic. Thank you guys so much. Rom-coms are such joyful corners of romance, and chatting with these authors reminds us just how much fun and how much heart these stories bring to readers. If you love today's conversation, make sure you check out their books and add a little more humor and spoon to your TBR. And as always, we'd love to know your favorite rom-com reads. Tag us on social media or drop us a note so we can share the love. Again, thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out with me and talking rom-coms.
Anytime.
Bye.
Bye, ladies.
Until next time, everyone. Good night.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.